Thanks for joining us on today's Family Experience, helping your family connect in a world that's pulling families apart. My name's Chuck Higley. I'm the executive director of Project Patch, and I'm glad to bring you another episode of today's Family Experience. Really, our goal with this podcast is to give you tools, give you ideas that can really help your family push forward and make a difference in a world that really is out to get families and pull them apart. One of the realities of this world that's hard for us parents to accept is that we have our limits. There are certain things that we can do for our kids. There are certain ways that we can really help them. But the other aspect is that there's things that we can't do. When our kids are sick, it's one of those heartbreaking things for a parent that we can't make them well. Today's podcast really covers a topic that is a real challenge in this sin-soaked world. And that challenge is that some of our kids are born or end up through life circumstances having special needs, whether it's something physical or mental or perhaps both. Some of us are needing to raise kids that demand even more from us as parents, maybe taking care of their physical needs longer than we anticipated, or maybe some of these kids aren't able to process information the way a typical kid can, or maybe this kid is going to take extended care throughout their lifetime. And so these parents have a different path to walk. And so raising kids with special needs requires even more from those parents. And so today I'm excited to bring you an expert in this, not just someone that studied about it, but someone that's had the experience of raising a child with special needs. I'm excited to bring back to you Sean Anderson. You got to know him earlier as he shared about blended families and his experience there. Sean is a life coach. He works with fathers and with people that are looking at making life changes. He's an adjunct faculty with Warner Pacific University. He holds a PhD in organizational leadership from Pepperdine. He's author of the book Living Dangerously, Seven Keys to Intentional Discipleship. I'm really talking about the study that he did dealing with leadership and how to effectively lead other people. He regularly teaches and coaches with fathers with the Northwest Marriage Institute, a fantastic organization that's making a big difference in the Portland and Willamette Valley with families, specifically with dads, and helping them really impact their marriages and their kids for a positive direction. He and his wife Lisa teach with the Project Patch program called The Family Experience, which is in Goldendale, Washington. He coaches that, works with our other facilitators to really create these weekends that help families thrive in a world that's really challenging them. He's a dad, he's a husband, he's a professional, and I think what you're going to really take away from this interview is that he is purposeful in what he does. He doesn't just let life come at him. He comes at it with a plan. And most of all, he's a man of God that really appreciates and values how God can transform someone both in grace and in abilities that we never thought we have. Specifically because we have to face things in life that we never thought we'd have to face. And so I'm excited to bring the interview with Sean, and then I'll connect with you after that interview. Sean, it's great to have you with us for another episode of today's Family Experience. I know that you are doing a lot of different things, and this is something that I'm not sure if you get a whole lot of chance to teach on, but I'm excited to talk to you today about what it's like to parent a child with special needs. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be here, Chuck.
So, Sean, tell me how you came into this situation. Maybe you could introduce you and Lisa a little bit and share about your daughter and her special needs and what your family looks like.
Yeah, sure. We've been married for a little over 8 years now. We're a blended family, and Lisa has a biological child that has special needs. It's a cerebral palsy, which is often mistaken for MS. Or something similar, but it's something that happens during the birthing process.
And so, you fell in love with Lisa, and you guys have blended your family. And that process of getting your daughter into your home, what has it been like for you to be in the situation of being stretched, maybe not knowing that much about her special need and getting to the point that you can be her parent?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I was really focused on is just trying to understand who she was as a person. And so that was educating myself to what cerebral palsy was all about. I didn't know anything about it. know, is a very mysterious thing to me. So I read some books on it, which are very helpful. In fact, I read a book by a woman who has cerebral palsy that wrote about her life experience. She wrote about what it was like to grow up with cerebral palsy. And cerebral palsy, people that have that, there is a wide diversity of people. Some people are not able to walk or talk. Fortunately for our daughter, Astoria is her name. She is able to function pretty well. She talks just fine. She walks with some difficulty. In fact, she falls a lot. But she is able to function just fine. And in fact, she graduated from high school. So with a regular diploma.
Oh, fantastic. So as a family, when you made that commitment, to Lisa, and in a sense, you're making a commitment to the family, really, you probably at that point knew somewhat of what you were getting into, but maybe not realizing just the challenges that are around this. How does this tend to affect families to have a child that they're raising with a disability or with a special need?
No, it can affect families in all different kinds of ways. For the other siblings, sometimes there's a little jealousy because oftentimes, just to be able to work with a child with special needs, extra attention is put on them. So it takes attention from some of the other kids. You know, especially if there's families that have a special needs child that is in a wheelchair or needs constant care. You know, it takes time away from the other children and from the family as a whole, doing anything together as a family. So it can cause a lot of stress in the families, and so being aware of that, I think, is one of the keys to working with that, and to work with that disability, with that need that they have.
You mentioned in another show that you did for us, focusing on blended families, that really as a family, you guys established new traditions as a family, and so for your kids that hadn't been around CP before, cerebral palsy and around that, those sorts of needs, it took some adjustment for them to realize this is how it affects our family, and for them to really get used to that and comfortable with that also, probably.
Yes, it does. And each child is different, of course. So finding out what makes that child tick, what their needs are, what their desires are, what their dreams are, and to figure out what that is. And also what you can do as a family. You know, if you have a special needs child, you may not be able to go hiking together. You may not be able to go skiing together. Some things that you really enjoyed doing before this child. And so finding the things that even the person with a special need can do with you, that I think is very key. Astoria has an excellent memory. And so we play card games that require memory, and she just about always beats us. She's good at them, you know. But also we discovered some things that we can do together. She can throw a frisbee. We can go bowling. You know, we put up the guards on the side, because if you do that, it doesn't matter how you throw the ball, you know, it'll still get down there. It'll still knock some pins down. You know, so.
Yeah, I could, I need the bumpers myself.
Yeah, that's right.
So really as a family, you guys have been able to really, I mean, your kids have it's impacted them. But at the same time, you found ways that you can really still create a sense of family and activity and bonding, even if the kids are very different.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So as a couple, what were some of the challenges as that? How does this affect couples in ways that have surprised you or that you've grown through?
The marriage relationship?
Correct.
You know, it's learning new communication tools, I think, is a key to that. And for Astoria, she's someone that sees things very black and white, and she doesn't understand innuendo or any kind of, references to things that, you know, either you do this or you don't do this, you know, and so, in parenting, it can be a frustration because you think, well, obviously she understands this, but she may not. And so the parents need to be on the same page with that and not look at it as she's intentionally disobeying me, but maybe she just doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that we had to really, really work through and come to agreement on and to know that we're not going to discipline if she doesn't understand, because that doesn't make any sense, you know. But if we understand that maybe she's just struggling to understand a concept or understand something that she's been told to do, then that's different, and we can work with that.
And we'll get down to parenting tips in a minute, but what really brought that to mind as you were sharing is that as a parent, one of the challenges we face as a couple is that there's usually one parent that's driving the kid to maybe live at a higher level of maturity or accountability than the other parent is. And so maybe one parent tends to be the rescuer while the other tends to be the pusher, if that makes any sense. What was your initial role, your sense of, did you feel more of a sense to be a protector, or did you feel a sense that your role was to really encourage her to try new things? What was your natural inclination, and what was Lisa's natural inclination with that?
I think mine was trying to understand the best way to communicate, and then to encourage her in a way that I could in parenting or schoolwork. I did. I helped her with homework before we were married, and I think that helped develop a rapport that was useful later on, that she could develop some trust in me. You know, I'm trying to help her, and she's appreciating it, that kind of thing. With Lisa, she is kind of a book nerd, so she's always looking at new, or I should say, parenting nerd. She's always looking at resources to improve her parenting, so she's always trying new things out and new techniques out. And I think that's what it takes too, is sometimes you have to go through kind of develop this list in your brain of all these different opportunities or these different ways to respond to someone with special needs, and figure out what is the best way to handle this particular situation. Mm-hmm. So have all these tools at your disposal, I think, is very helpful.
One of the things that you've been teaching that is part of our curriculum for the family experience is this idea of a bow tie. And if you look at some of our blog posts, I'll leave a link for that in the show notes for the exact episode. But we talk about this concept that our kids are constantly growing in responsibility over their lifetime. So whether they're special needs or any kid, they're constantly looking at where they're at. And as a parent, we're moving them forward. And as a parent, there's a constant process of us letting go and letting them experience life and in a sense, giving them a chance to succeed and fail. That dynamic is hard for every single kid that we're dealing with. As a parent, I think a lot of times we either totally let go and don't let them grow, or there's times that we're really fearful to let them fail. Have you seen that dynamic play out in your family and other families with special needs, that maybe those kids do have to be pushed at times, and there's times that they really are going to fail and learn from that failing, and that's all right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those same ideas play out in families with special needs children. At times we've had to kind of push a story because she wasn't very confident in her own abilities, so to sort of push with an encouraging type of approach to it, and then other times to just acknowledge that maybe she's not capable of doing something. She'll never be able to drive a car, for example, because she has diminished reflexes and vision and things like that, and she will never be able to do that. And that was a hard pill for her to swallow. It was difficult for her to come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what we're doing is working on developing her independence. So we're helping her with cooking and how to do some things on her own. She already does her own laundry and things like that. But we're trying to develop that because she doesn't want to live with us forever. She's 20 years old and she's fine where she is now, but eventually she'd like to move out and be with some friends, and so we're helping her develop some keys, some tools that she can use, that she can eventually do that.
You know, and what's interesting as I listen to that is that so many parents right now are having a hard time getting their kids out of their home.
Yeah.
You know, not the stereotypical boy sitting downstairs with playing video games, but we have a lot of kids that are, it's a fearful world out there, afraid to launch. And really what I'm hearing from you is that there's a lot of reasons that could be given for your daughter to stay at home. And she's got that independence, and you guys are fueling that independence and not only fueling it, but equipping her along the way. So in a sense, your situation's probably required you to focus a little bit more on this topic, but this is something you're probably doing naturally with all your kids.
Yes, yes. It's no more or less for her than anyone else. I think the only difference is it takes a little bit longer. You mm-hmm. know, it's longer to get the concepts across, to communicate how to you know, take care of yourself, for example. You know, how to make sure that all the shampoo's out of your hair, and you know, some little things like that we take for granted, just take extra work with a special needs child.
Mm-hmm. So as you were sharing with me a little earlier, you have some tips on parenting that you've both researched, you've lived them out. It sounds like Lisa's done a lot of both professional work around this area as well as educating you and working with your family. But one of the things that you started with was just that concept of a real key is to educate yourself. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. I had mentioned reading the book about the woman with cerebral palsy, but and that helped me a lot. I know Lisa's always been very involved in finding resources, getting that help that she needs. In the beginning, the Shriners is an excellent organization that works with special needs children. And they even have some free services that they provide. And for example, they had and the story was little, she had braces on her legs. She didn't learn to walk till she was seven, but she had braces to help her kind of firm up her legs to help her do that. And the Shriners provided that, and then walkers and things like that. So being aware of the resources out there and looking for those resources is very helpful. And then also there's support groups, which I would encourage people to join if they need that. They feel like they're all alone a lot of times. And sometimes therapy may be required for certain family members, maybe even the family as a whole. So those are some ideas of some ways to sort of educate yourself and to get help.
And just some of that is what I hear you saying is that there's just so much out there, and you're busy parenting, but realizing that it does take that time to know more about what the challenge you're facing, and also educate yourself that there's resources available, that you're not alone.
Right.
Yeah. What's another thing that's a tip for you?
I have alluded to it a little bit, but to help them develop their own individuality. So, you know, the natural inclination, especially I think for a parent, a biological parent, is, you know, someone struggling with feeding themselves, or they're struggling with hygiene issues, and just to do everything for them. That's, I think, the natural thing to do. But if we really want to help this person succeed as an adult, as a mature and independent adult, then help them develop those skills too. Help them develop that individuality. So some of the physical things, but also helping them solve their own problems too, is another way to do that. So giving them some tools. You know, here's some things you can do to make a decision on something, and help them brainstorm ideas on some ideas, maybe, you know, for an answer to a decision that they're trying to make. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, help them develop that individuality in every way.
So can you, you know, answer maybe another level as you've been sharing, it just kind of was interesting to me. Developing their individuality, how as far as spiritually mentoring and spiritually discipling that process. How have you seen that come through as a dad, as you've tried to introduce her to a deeper level of Christ?
That's a really good question, because you know, if you work with special needs children, you know that there's a spectrum of different abilities and even abilities there with their, you know, their IQ levels and so forth. And with Astoria, when she actually made the decision to follow Christ, and it was something that we were very happy about. But I think of what Jesus said when he said, "Let the children come to me," and then he said also, you know, "Unless you're like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Mm-hmm. And what he was talking about was that innocence and that purity. And I see that in special needs children. So there's a part of me, and this may be controversial, I don't know, but there's a part of me that thinks that, you know, we can do as much as we can to encourage them in their Christian walk, but at the end, they're that pure, innocent child.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really only so much we can do.
Yeah. And what's amazing is, as a parent, isn't that the paradox, is that we're dealing with free moral agent kids, you know, and we can create an environment that demonstrates and encourages trust in Christ and turning our lives over to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there is only so much we can do.
There's only so much we can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's kind of a flip coin of this. You had mentioned to me that the step that you just shared was the idea of develop their individuality. And you also say get to know them personally. What is that like?
That's just like with any other child. I would say don't treat them any differently just because they have special needs. But you know, give them that respect and listen to them. I know for Astoria, everything that she does, she wants to tell us, you know, blow by blow, you know, and give us every detail. And that's fine. You know, if she wants to do that and recount everything that she's experienced when she's out with friends or whatever. But she needs that. She needs that listening ear. And that helps her develop. It helps her to know that we respect her and that we value her as an individual. And that helps to develop her personally too. So find the thing that they crave, that something that shows them that they are important. I think it's very important to do.
It was interesting, Sean, teaching last weekend. I was up at the Family Experience and one of our guests there, has Asperger's, and so he's high functioning. I guess that'd be on the autism scale, but high functioning Asperger's, and so ability to really he had a fantastic time in that weekend, did really well with the program. And one of the interesting things as I shared time with him was our personality profile showed him to be a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
Golden retrievers tend to be really people oriented. They tend to be slower in task. They tend to really take people's feelings into account, and be very relational and not very confrontational. And so it was interesting because when he got this test result and we were talking them through, he said, "I thought I was more of a beaver."
Hmm.
And a beaver tends to be task and fact driven and, you know, not as people driven. And it was fun sharing with him that his Asperger's probably brings out more of the task and the factual side. But in ways, God's knitted him with an ability to really connect with people and to be able to have that insight into feelings and some of these things that really, in a sense, is maybe at times offset by his Asperger's. And it was a fantastic conversation because for us to share that and to have that moment together to get to know him personally beyond his maybe some of the impact of his diagnosis was really fun to see. And so sometimes I think, at least with my experience, not being as familiar with some of these kids with special needs, is that the special need sometimes can overshadow a lot of amazing stuff that's happened with personality and with giftedness, that we really do have to watch for and in a sense really, really spend time focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good observation. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, we've noticed that too with Astoria, because you know, she is a golden retriever too, I would say. but she is also, she also wants to know the schedule, and she wants to know times. And, you know, if we get off schedule, it upsets her, because, you know, she was expecting something to happen at 2 o'clock, and, you know, it's 2:10 and it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, she doesn't understand. So I think that, you know, the special need is driving that beaver aspect of her personality too. And part of that's just, you know, not understanding that there's flexibility that's part of life, and it, you know, things just happen sometimes and you can't help it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a point that you had made, that you shared with me, is that one of the tips is really being able to experiment with different styles of learning, probably different ways of presenting things and discipline. And so you really are an experiment, you know, figuring out what works.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, finding the best way to communicate with her about something, if we're explaining to her that, you know, one dress is better than another dress, and maybe one is too revealing or something. And, you know, trying to get her to understand this, you know, if we just say, well, we think this is better, it doesn't make any sense. If we say, well, this, you know, might show a little bit more skin, you know, maybe you should think, she may not understand that. So finding the way to communicate that particular thing to her and being open to that, instead of just giving up and saying, well, you know, it's a lost cause. But being patient is such a key for working with special needs children. You know, it's a key for working with any type of children, but for special needs, our patience is going to be challenged more. So we have to be more creative with the ways that we communicate, with the ways that we discipline, and all of those different areas.
Mm-hmm. Patience, yeah. You know, that is, praise God that that's a gift, because at least for me, I find that that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit has to give me, because it's not a natural thing.
Right.
So really the tips that you've shared, and I really appreciate it, we'll put them in our show notes, so you'll have a little bit more information on them, but is to educate yourself. Second, get to know them personally. You had talked about that idea of getting help, reaching out to resources, whether it's the Shriners, support group, counseling, other families that are going through similar things. So that idea that you're not alone. Work on developing their individuality, experimenting with different learning styles and discipline, and then, you know, the capstone of being patient there. You know, I have a theory, Sean, I don't know if I've shared it with you, but my theory is that God gives us family, not only so that we can help our kids grow and mature, but also as a growing and maturing process for us. How have you seen yourself change as you've been dad to Astoria?
I have seen my patience develop more. I've seen that I've had to be more creative in the ways that I communicate with people. And that's come out as through communicating with Astoria. And then spiritually too, I think that comes into play too, is understanding that people are in different walks in their spiritual faith, and that we shouldn't have more expectations for them than they can really handle at that time. So we can challenge them, yes, we should, but to grow more, but just being aware that everyone is on a different place on that path in their spiritual walk.
So Sean, like I said, there's some notes that we have here for you. I'd really like people to be able to connect with you. I'm sure that there's some parents that'll be listening that have additional questions, maybe need some encouragement, maybe need some direction for resources. What would be the best way for people to connect with you?
Probably through Northwest Marriage Institute, and that's northwestmarriage.org, all spelled out there. And then my website is docshawn, docshawn.com, and people can email me through there.
All right, fantastic. And people can follow you on Twitter at docshawn. And they can get to know you better as you teach in different ways. And for the lucky families that sign up for the family experience, you're teaching quite a few of the weekends for us with the family experience and making a great impact as you and Lisa do that. Sean, as you leave us today, is there something you can say maybe that would be an encouragement to the families out there that are just in the throes of not knowing how to really make that impact as their family, how to pull their family together as their facing the challenges of raising a special needs child? Maybe you could share something with us in closing.
I would just say, don't be too hard on yourself. You know, God is working with this child, and he's given you this gift of this child to work with, because he knows that you can handle it. And so it's being patient and trusting him that he is going to be able to work it all out.
Sean, thank you so much for your time today. Wish you all of God's blessing in your family as you continue to grow and make that impact as a dad. Well, I really enjoyed that time that I got to spend with Sean. I'm always struck as I spend time with him, his thoughtfulness, his attention to the big picture, his ability to see kids individually, realize the dynamics that are happening in the family, and that he purposefully works through all those things and is really making a difference. So I really appreciated that time with Sean, and I hope you did too. You know, each one of our kids requires patience in the moment, realizing that what they're going through and where they need to go really requires a parent that is patient and long-term focused. It requires teamwork with our spouses, and it requires a focus on the needs of our individual kids and the needs of our families, and Sean really brought that up. If you've got some thoughts on that, and if you'd like to contribute to the discussion, I'd encourage you to go onto our website. If you go onto the blog website today.thefamilyexperience.org, there's places that you can look at the show notes from this and that you can leave your comments for other parents, things that you'd like us to study, look at in the future. And so we'd really appreciate your notes for that. We'd love to hear your comments also on things that you'd like us to cover and other guests that you'd like us to include in these podcasts. Finally, if you could take a minute to share this information with a friend, you can do that through Facebook by just clicking on the like button. Join us on our Project Patch website and encourage other people to do that too. And, you know, nothing beats just talking to someone and saying, hey, I've got a great resource. It's really made a difference in my life, and I think you'd benefit from it and sharing it that way. Finally, if you could go on to iTunes, if that's how you're getting this podcast, go on there, subscribe to it, leave a review. That really helps us get the word out and gets it to be a blessing to other families that are struggling out there. You know, families isn't easy. Sean really helped us today understand that it really takes a parent to be focused, a couple to be together, and for a family to work together to make this happen. And so now I encourage you to be that parent. Go connect with your family. We can help at thefamilyexperience.org.